Hey, John Thornhill here, and today I'm doing a quick call with Daniel Sumner, and we are going to basically talk about blogging. Now, just before I announced I was going to do this interview, I basically emailed my subscribers and asked if there was any questions that they would like us to talk about and like me to ask Dan. So that's what we are sort of going to do, and we're also going to just talk about blogging in general. So, hi Dan.
Hello, John.
How are you? Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Right, I think first, Dan, I think we should actually talk about the importance of having a blog before we go into the questions. I mean, in my opinion, your blog is your most important site. You know, I don't know if you would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you look at blogging in general, and you can go into niche blogging or you can go into personal blogging. I mean, a blog can mean a lot of things. It can mean your own personal business website, personal website, like niches, like I've just explained before, trying to make money from Google AdSense, etc. But from like a personal point of view, which I'm assuming that we're talking about that today, and your blog is your hub, it's your central position for who you are and basically your advertisements for your business. So, I mean, I use the Dan Sumner blog to sort of give people information, free information about what I do and try to help people that way. And I have certain pages on my blog which allows people to check out my products and the things I'm doing online at that time. I'm basically trying to help people. So having your own blog as a central hub for your business is most certainly one of the key areas to actually have in your business, your own blog.
Yeah, in my opinion, Dan, I think you're basically selling yourself, aren't you? I mean, you provide good content via your blog. I think that's the most important thing you should do. But
Yeah.
obviously, when people read your blog, if they like what they see, then obviously they're going to opt into your mailing list, check out your products, and things like that. So ultimately, your blog is actually selling you.
Of course, of course. I mean, see, like a real world example here. See, I've never heard of John Thornhill, okay? So, and John Thornhill, for example, is trying to sell me something, a marketing course. I mean, I don't know if I trust this guy. I don't know who this guy is. And if I know, or if I'm going to see if John Thornhill has his own blog, or I'm going to find something else about John Thornhill. So I'm going to Google John Thornhill. And WordPress has an unbelievable knack of working extremely well with Google. And these sites are hitting page one of, unless you are a massive, huge corporate company and a big name, then you're obviously going to hit the number one spot. But if someone tried to put up just a single page website and of, standard HTML code or whatever of John Thornhill, they're not going to come anywhere near WordPress and WordPress's code. So from an SEO point of view and a personal point of view, to have your own blog, you are going to be there or thereabouts page one for your name. And when somebody Googles your name looking for, for trust and trying to find out exactly what this guy's about, using your own blog in this fashion is going to convey that information to the reader 10 times better than it would if you didn't have a blog. So you can find out about this person. You know they're going to give free information away. Trust, you can tell by comments on the thread, people talking, the interaction on your blog, the actual community that you've got as a person builds trust, and it shows people who don't actually know who you are that you actually can be that person and sharing information that way. And this is it's a there's a big trust issue when you try to sell things online or try to get somebody into a coaching program, and people want to know who you are, and having your own blog really does project that.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Dan. One thing I would say is what some people I think get wrong with their blogs is they use it just to promote products. And obviously, if let's say you search for my name, just as you explained, and all I was doing on my blog was promoting products and services and just using it as a place to advertise, then
Yeah.
people will get the wrong impression. And I think it's very important to try to just use your blog for giving content and sell your own products and services. You don't want to be, just doing review after review after review on a daily basis of other products and things like that. That's my opinion, and you know, I just feel that when you actually build a blog, you should try to create the best content you possibly can.
Yeah, I totally agree. Now, I mean, one thing I do talk about in the blogger's roadmap is the way people put ads on their site. And for me, I spent 7 months with zero ads on my site. I took a hit on, you know, sort of an income stream from my site, which I had set up before. But I just wanted to test exactly what my site was going to be like without ads. And I found that when I was doing a lot of research about that, I find that people want more interaction than anything else. And the more interaction you have, the more trust you can build up. And it's all about building a community. And if you're sort of, you know, blog hopping around, looking at people's sites, and you land on a website or land on someone's blog and it's covered in advertisement, you know, what does that make you think? I mean, John, what do you think when you do that? You land on a site, it's covered in ads, you think, okay, where's the content?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not here to buy something.
Yeah.
I'm here to find free information, like you've just sent me an email about, or you've just tweeted me about, or you've just hit me up on Facebook, or I've just seen that on G+, or I've just seen that on YouTube. You know, if I see an advert, if I see a blog and it says something, I'm just going to pull a headline out of the air here. So something like 57 headlines that you cannot do without, okay? So I want to land on this site expecting to find some free information. But what do I find? Ad after ad after ad. Buy this, buy this, buy that, buy this, buy this. Join this, join that, join this. Sign up here, do this, do that, do that. You know, I'm not there for that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be there for that. So what I want to land on that blog for is to actually find out some free information. So give me the information already, you know?
Yeah.
It is. And that for me is it's a big downfall for anybody who starts a blog and covers it in advertisement.
I think that's a common newbie mistake, Dan. I think people think, you know, you'll see people who maybe sign up for various affiliate programs and they'll put flashing banners on their blog, and I think people think the more ads they put on their blog, the more money they've got the potential to make, because they think, well, if I put 100 ads on my blog, there's 100 possible ways to make money. And obviously, the opposite actually happens. If you were going to put any ads on, just put one or two on, you know, maybe a hosting program you recommend or something, something related to what you actually do as well, not just random stuff.
Yes, completely agree. I mean, I could make more money off one ad than 100.
Yeah, of course. And I think that's a common thing where people make mistakes. Same with download pages, when you promote something else, and that's another thing, but less is more when you advertise something else.
Always. One, two, maybe four ads. I mean, if you think about monetizing, and I know you're probably going to get onto talking about monetizing your blog in this call, but I mean, we'll talk about it now. And I think when it comes to monetizing, there are key areas that you can monetize your blog. Your sidebar, underneath your post. And I try to steer away from header and banner advertising, because, you know, when somebody lands on the site, you want to see something real, something that's going to want you to make you steer there, not an ad straight in your face, bam, you know, buy this. I don't want to. I'm there for information. It's a blog. I'm there to find out some info. If you're going to monetize, and try to keep your ads around about or just below the fold. And you know that when I say fold of the website, I mean it's you need to scroll. So you provide great information, maybe a free sign up, a subscription on the right hand side. Subscriptions below your header are a great place. But keep your ads just on or below the fold. And then when you find people reading your information, scrolling down, checking out what you've got to offer, and then they see an ad on the right-hand side or a small ad, a related ad below your post, then, yeah, you know, you're going to get some clicks from that. Don't just write about internet marketing and try to sell to someone, you know, buy a fur coat or buy... you need to relate everything and not try to put things in people's face. I mean, you don't want to piss people off, John, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. Okay then, Dan. Let's go into a few questions. Obviously, I've received quite a few questions, and I picked a few questions. Now, Dan is sort of going to get put on the spot here. And before I go any further, you know, I see Dan as the go-to guy for blogging. I'm constantly emailing Dan about, you know, what's this plugin do, or is my blog optimized enough, and things like that. So, you know, Dan does know his stuff, but let's put him to the test anyway. I've got a question from Jeff, Dan. And Jeff's asking, auto blogging, is it good or bad? Pros and cons. He's basically just asking, is it worth doing?
From my point of view, it can work. I'm not a fan of generated content and
me neither.
And feeding other blogs with their spun content. You know, I'm a personal guy. If I'm going to write a post, I write that post. If I'm going to talk to someone on Facebook or Twitter, I actually do that. You know, I don't automate anything. So I think personally, if it comes to auto blogging, then for me, no, it's not for me. I run a few blogs, and I write my own content for every single one.
Yeah, I think what the idea sounds good. You know, you just set a blog up and then it automatically gets filled with content that's going to make you money for doing nothing. And that's the dream everybody wants.
Yeah.
Money for doing nothing. But the reality is there's nothing out there that can really do that. And when you think about this for a minute, when people go to Google and search for things, what Google is trying to do is produce you with relevant results. And relevant results are not auto-blogging sites. And that's why, you know, all of these recent updates that Google have done, Panda and Penguin and whatever other animal updates, they're trying to get rid of this sort of thing. So at the end of the day, even if it did work, you know, today, the chances are 6 months, 12 months down the line, it won't work. But what I know always works is providing good, solid, valuable content.
It's not just about solid and valuable content as well, though, John. It's about interaction. Now, you're saying you have a blog for a reason. I mean, when we talk about blogging, that means interacting, community, talking to people, you know, getting to know people on your blog. When you talk about auto-blogging, that to me is that someone's going to switch the comments off and just drip-feed content into that blog. Now, that can work. Yes, it can work. You can add ads to that site. But I guarantee that you're not going to make a lot of money from that, and you don't need a lot of sites. So possibly it will work. Yes, it probably does work. But like you said, when it comes to whatever update that Google want to do next, you're going to take a hit. I mean, I've actually tried it with one of my sites, drip-fed articles, just as a test, drip-fed articles into my blog. And, you know, I was making money off it. I was making Google AdSense money. And then I think it was Panda update hit, and it just trashed my blog completely.
Yeah, which is you're at the mercy of Google with stuff like that. So, you know, you always have to bear that in mind. What may work today probably won't work tomorrow.
Yeah, but when you say auto-blog, you still have to provide content.
Okay. Right then. I've got a question here from Keith. This is more of a personal question about your blog, Dan. Keith says, it looks like Dan is using a thesis theme on his blog. did he customize it himself or hire someone to do it? Can you recommend anyone for hire and customize thesis? I'm horrible with design myself.
Right, okay. First of all, I never used to use a thesis theme, and I'd done a lot of research when sort of premium themes came out, and thesis for me came out on top because of the SEO capabilities and, you know, the coding inside. Google loves nice, clean code. And, you know, some of these themes that you see today, the free ones, some of them are just put together by, you know, just novice guys, and they don't really know what sort of search engines are looking for, or they're not sort of in touch with that area. And thesis claimed that they were. And there's also Genesis as well. That is another top premium theme that I would recommend. Did I design a theme? No, I have a guy who does a lot of work for me, a coding guy. He's very good at what he does. And I'll give John the link at the end of this video. And there's also a guy in our Facebook group who I can also recommend.
And you can also find people on the places like Elancer, can't you, Dan? I mean, you know,
Elancer, Desk. You can actually go to the thesis website itself, and there's a forum there, and there was a lot of very, very cool designers in there. But, you know, it depends how much you want to pay. It's all down to price. You can pay anywhere in upwards of $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for a site.
Wow. I know. When it comes to graphics, one thing I will say, when it comes to graphics on your blog, don't do them yourself unless you are a professional graphic designer.
Yeah.
People, this is a massive mistake. People will create their own header or their own, you know, their own graphic design, their own theme design, and they may think they have done a good job, but unless you are a professional, I'll say this again, a professional graphics designer, it won't look as good as it can. And
yeah.
And some people think they've done a good job when the reality is they haven't. And for the likes of maybe $60, $70, $80 invested one time, you know, you can have a professional. Professional looking blog. So that's one thing I want to put out there. Don't do it yourself unless you know what you are doing.
Yeah, that's right. I think we've spoken about this before, John, haven't we? It's called product love, isn't it? You actually look at your own product,
yeah.
Look at your own graphics, and you actually of yourself are very proud about what you've done, and you think, yes, that's great, that's excellent, I've done an amazing job. But if you think you've done an amazing job, be hard on yourself. Send it to someone else. Send it to a few people. Send it to people who you trust.
Who will give you
you an honest opinion.
That's very important, to give you an honest
opinion.
Don't ask
for an honest opinion. Ask for an honest opinion. And if you do decide to create your own graphics or stuff like that, then and you are not a professional, if you class yourself as maybe a novice and you think you're just okay, then I'm sorry. Go get a professional to do it. It may sound harsh. I'm not trying to tell anybody here that, you know, give it a shot, give it your best try. It'll all work out in the end. It won't. Go and get some good graphics. Simple as that.
Yeah, I agree, Dan. It's one of the most crucial things because obviously your graphics sell. When people first hit your site, that's what they are going to see before they even read the content.
And if you've got
poor, and if you've got poor quality graphics, the chances are people are going to leave. So, yeah. Okay. I've got a couple of questions here from John. I don't know if that's John from York or John York. I'm not quite sure.
That's John O'York.
John O'York, okay. Basically, one thing he's asking is, for newcomers and those maybe rehashing and starting up new blogs, would you recommend basing their blog on personality followed by niche information or on a defined niche subject with your personality following on?
Yeah, I would say both. Let's take a look at that question. For niche information, then yes, if you know what you're doing, if you know this is what your niche, this is what you want to do, then yeah, go for your niche and don't try to be someone else though. It's hard. It's possible because, you know, nobody actually knows who you are on the internet, and we're back to this trust thing. But if you try to be something that you're not or try to be someone that you're not, then, you know, it's not going to work out very well in the end. And I think personality shines through for people.
That's what I was going to say, Dan. Yeah, your personality will naturally shine through.
And, you know, I'll say this now. You're not going to please everybody. There's a million different blogs out there and a million different sorts of content with a million different types of people with a million different types of, you know, attitudes and the way they convey information to each other. And there's a lot of personality out there. So, you know, just be yourself. Not everybody's going to like you, but not everybody's going to hate you either. So there's room for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. Just be yourself. And if you know what you're talking about, then, you know, that's good enough.
Yes.
There's also another, it's like a two-part question here. John's also asking, at what stage do you start to monetize? Would you include a pitch that you can highly recommend right from the get-go as a simple set of values you admire, or would you build trust first with free information before you start to sell? I think most people will know the answer to this question. You wouldn't start selling straight away, would you?
In fact, if you want to. I mean, I would actually say if you want to put ads on your site from day one, then do it. But you need to provide the information to back that up.
Yeah.
You need to be providing absolute killer epic content. And people need to read your content and think, wow, that's amazing. Then, okay, yeah, I'll go and get that. It's related, you know. So I think if it's possible, you know, if you're building amazing content on the back of your amazing, amazing blog, then, yeah, definitely, I think you can monetize from day one, but be careful. You know, I'm not seeing go months and weeks with without any monetizing at all. That's what I advise is build your audience, build your community first, and then advertise. But, you know, if you want to go from day one, then yes, you can, but you need to make sure your content is awesome and you need to be at home with your niche and provide sort of the ads that you know that people are going to like and are related to your content. So I think it's a judgment call, really.
I think as well, Dan, when you're doing your blogging and when you're, you know, giving content away, I think people can see through if you're actually just trying to promote a product. Now, we're going to talk about the blogger's roadmap eventually sometime in this call, and there will be a link underneath this video to the blogger's roadmap, which is Dan's blogging product. But that's not primarily why we do this. You think about giving the content first, and then if people can benefit by, you know, maybe finding out more by buying a product, then you would recommend it. I mean, what you want to be doing, if you talk about using a product, try and show people how they can make money with that product. Then if you're going to recommend, you can, you know, that's usually the best way to do it.
Yes. Yeah, totally agree.
Okay. We've got a question from Mike Holcomb. Now, this is more of a technical question, Dan. He's asking, what WordPress editor do you use, the default one or an add-on? Because it looks like Mike's using an add-on and it's provided problems. So what do you think about that?
I use the default dashboard, but I've also, I use that plugin, TinyMC, as well. And I don't have a problem with it.
that's the one Mike's using, yeah? TinyMC Advance.
Yeah, I don't really have a problem with that. I'm just going to log into my blog now.
I know. Sometimes with plugins, they can conflict, can't they? I mean, I've had that happen. You know, I've had situations where I've installed a plugin and my blog has disappeared. And, whoa, what's happening? Yeah. You know, and then you take the plugin out and it works. So sometimes this can happen. But I also just use a standard editor. And I, you know, but I don't use any plugins for writing. Because what I do is just pretty simple stuff. Just simple text and the odd hyperlink and the odd image. But if you're having problems with plugins, I suppose the best course of action is look for some sort of support related to the plugin. But I think, you know, while I don't class myself as a technical blogging expert, usually the problem is usually a clash either with a theme or another plugin. That's usually what happens. Would you agree with
that? Yes, I'm looking at my plugins now, and I mean, that is the same one that I actually use. And I don't have a problem with that. So maybe try uninstalling it.
Right. Can I ask why you would use an advanced editor?
It gives you just some extra features.
Okay.
You don't need them specifically, but there are some extra features in there. Different styles of writing you can use on there, and just different editor tools. That's all really, John. It's not there.
Okay. Right then, I'm getting actually a question related actually to the blogger's roadmap, and this is from Donald. Donald's asking, what's different between Dan's product, the blogger's roadmap, and any other blogging product? that's one for you, Dan.
What's the difference? I've read a lot of blogging products, and I don't want to call out anybody's name, okay, in this. I'm not going to say that my product's better than X's product because... But put it this way, I've read a lot of products and, you know, a lot of people just dive straight into telling people how to make money. And it doesn't work, John. It's put up a blog, then do this. Okay, and, you know, where's your content? Where's your interaction? Where's the people following you? Where's your community? Where's, you know, they don't dive into big SEO and Google and how to make, you know, how to get your blog high in the search engine rankings, stuff like that. So what my product goes from step one here to step 10 Z, and it tells you exactly what to do and how to do it. And it's just, you know, you get a lot of blogging products which are sort of like a 1500 word guide, and this is how to create a successful blog. The blogger's roadmap is 62 pages and 22,000 words. And that's 18 months of research from me, coming from the back of 2006 when I very first started blogging. So you can pretty much say I've jam-packed it with everything that people need to know. And, you know, the feedback I'm getting at the moment on it is absolutely fantastic. You know, the Facebook group's kicking up and you know, I've gotten a lot of interaction on there. I'm getting emails daily saying how much people actually like the product. So what's the difference between my blogging product and any other blogging product? I've spent a lot of time and I've put a lot of effort in, and it's all truth. And it's just everything from my journey as a blogger, really. And I know it works.
I think the key word is, Daniel.
I hope that helps.
It's real, isn't it? It's real. You know, you're not hyping it. You're not saying, you know, make money from your blog in a week or something like that. You're showing people real methods that really work.
And I'm not saying that on day one, I'm not going to say I'm going to make you money blogging.
Yeah.
You know, eventually, if you stick with what I tell you to do, then yes, you are going to do that. I mean, I don't talk about monetizing till the end. So I'm more concerned about people getting their blog online, getting some interaction and start talking to other people and getting some traffic and becoming a blogger, rather than just trying to, you know, going for the fast buck and like what all these other guys teach you. I mean, personally, John, I can't stand it when you land on a page and you get this guy and he's going, I'm going to make you money today. Are you?
Usually not. In fact, every time not. I think that's the problem with a lot of products. You promise what you can't deliver. And that's the thing. You're not making promises. You're just showing people a solid blogging tech, you know, blogging techniques that you've learned over the last 6-7 years.
I think that's why I'm getting so much positive feedback from this. I mean, I've took the time and I've put all of my knowledge into this book. And, you know, it's actually showing through it is a roadmap, John. You know, it's not do this tomorrow and I'm going to make you $1 million. It's actually a roadmap to proven and positive techniques that actually do work in the blogging environment. I've sent this book to a lot of bloggers who I know who are doing very successful stuff. And, you know, I'm getting positive feedback from them as well. So as far as concerned, what makes my blogging product different from any other? It's a truthful, honest guide that will turn your blog from whatever it is now into something better.
Brilliant. I think you've answered that perfectly, Dan. Okay, we've got a question from Dean Thompson. Now, Dean's asking, how do you keep visitors engaged with your blog for the long term? As well as writing in an honest fashion, should you also write controversial posts, call to action posts, a series of posts so the visitor needs to come back, and how often should you try and sell to your visitors? That's quite a complex question, Dan, but hopefully...
Yeah, I mean, I think Dean's answered his own question there by asking about the types of posts, all of those types of posts. You know, it's you as you start a blog, you find out who your audience is, and you get to know your audience, and you'll get to know exactly what types of posts they like. Now, I'll give you an example. A few weeks ago, I actually put out a post of personal nature, and it was called Dreams of a Materialistic Man. And I basically talked about myself and the things I can't do without. And I kind of put myself in the spotlight. And I had one person come onto my blog and say, Dan, that is the best post I've ever read from you. You are so honest. And I thought, wow, I've just hit on a new type of post. It's a personal post. So, you know, I'm going to try to add more personal posts into my mix. Now, as like Dean's asked, when and how do you do them? I don't think there is a structure for that. I'm still learning from my visitors. And I'm still trying to put out posts that entertain people at the same time. Do you understand where I'm coming from with this? There's no set structure of how you should be doing it. But do all of those.
Yeah, I agree, Dan. I mean, your posts are different.
To information, information, information. Because then you're just going to appeal to the geeky people, like myself. I'm a technical geek. Honestly, I love it. But if you want to do that, then do it. But if you want to engage your audience, you need to get personal. You need to get controversial. You need to get geeky. You need to get tutorials. You need to just do everything, you know. Just be yourself and provide whatever you feel your audience needs. That's when I talk about in the blogger's roadmap, non-monetizing until you actually get to know the people who are actually visiting your blog. We had questions in there, didn't we? So
yeah, I think Dan as well. You know, obviously when you're writing your content, I never normally plan my content. I just have an idea, or I do something online, and have an idea, or I find something that works and I want to share it. I think that's a sort of thing. I just, you know, it's more random stuff from me, if I'm honest. But I also try and let your readers into your life a little. I remember you doing, I think it was last Christmas, you'd done a video where I think you were cooking something and you let people see how to cook this certain meal. Like, can you remember that?
Yeah, I was cooking a Thai curry.
That's right.
That's had a ton of hits on YouTube.
Yeah, but that's something, I think that's something that gets your readers to, you know, get to know you more, you know, and actually get readers to trust you more because you're letting people into your life, you know.
Yes.
So yeah,
I think you need to do that. Personally, I really do think you need to do that. I mean, there's a lot of people you see online. They hide behind a name. They hide behind a pseudonym or something else, and they don't show the real them. And then I've seen these people hiding behind pseudonyms, then coming out as themselves. And then their blog traffic exploding, literally. People, wow, it's you, you know. And then the interaction, it's there. It's, you know, then that's the person. You are the man behind the mask. And I think you do sort of lay yourself on the line a little bit. But, and again, not everybody's going to like your blog, but you are going to get traffic, and you are going to find a community that actually bonds with what you actually say.
Yeah, well, you will never please everyone. Nobody can do that. So
don't ever expect that.
No, and at the end of the day, you know, as long as you're pleasing the right amount of people, enough people who want to follow what you do, that's fine. I mean, if I could read out some of the messages I've had when I've promoted products, you know, you wouldn't believe. I mean, when people unsubscribe, some of the things people leave as messages are quite nasty, but that's just the way people, you know, that's just the way of the world. So just, you know, always remember that. If someone leaves you a nasty comment, remember, you've always got the power to delete stuff. But if someone disagrees with me, I leave comments up. But if someone gets personal, you know, then...
Yeah, there's a fine line. There is a fine line between someone starting to stir controversy and then you get the haters.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the trolls. Nobody wants them. You know, they're just stains on the internet, as far as I'm concerned.
I personally think haters are a sign you're being successful. If you don't have any haters, you're probably not successful enough.
Oh, everybody loves you.
Well.
I just want to touch on the back of Dane's question here, John. You sent it over, and it basically says, how often should you try to sell to your visitors? Right, this is something that you're going to find as you progress. You know, you're not going to find out how to sell to your visitors until you know your audience. And I think it's a case of start as you mean to go on. So if you want to sell every post, then by all means, sell every post. But you need to get the audience that wants to see that at every post. Personally, I wouldn't sell every post. I would sell maybe, I don't actually sell in my posts. I do promote reviews. I do actually put ads on my site back to my own products. So I would say if you, off the top of my head, I would say maybe 1 in 3, maybe do a review or have your link underneath every post promoting something permanently and people see it all the time, but rotate these ads. But if you want to do a review, by all means, it's just a review, you know, so you're not trying to push something, you know, you're reviewing a product in either a positive or a negative manner. So don't provide positive products constantly.
Yeah. You've got to be honest with your reviews.
Pretty good. Be honest and tell your audience that it's poor because your audience are relying on you for this information. They trust you. They want to hear what you've got to say. You know, so let me say, how many times should you try to sell your visitors? If you've got ads on your site, you're selling to them every day. And if you're creating reviews, then you're selling to them again. And it's not a case of, hey, buy this product. It's great. Review it and review it the way from a personal point of view. And if it doesn't work for you, then it's not going to work for your audience. You know, don't treat your audience like crazy people because they're probably
Yeah, I think, Dan, as well, I think more as long as you concentrate on the value, the content, the interaction, the monetization happens anyway. And which leads me lovely into my next question. Now, this is, I don't know if we'll cover 10 strategies here, but Brian's asking, what are your top 10 blog monetization strategies ranked in order? Let's see a top, I mean, we're going to see a top.
I haven't got 10.
Yeah, I haven't got 10, I don't think. But let's just see what are the things that make you money on your blog?
We'll say not top 10 tips, we'll just talk about monetization. Yeah. And for me, if you want to start out blogging and you're not sure where to go, but you still want to monetize, use Google AdSense. It's a great entry-level monetization strategy. I mean, it's not the best. I mean, I remember way back 2005, 2004, when we actually first started, I was getting $5 a click.
Yeah, I remember those days.
And, you know, remember when I used to call you up and say, John, check this link out. I've just earned like $10 from one click.
Yeah.
I mean, them were the days where people were making a lot of money from AdSense. Now you're lucky if you get 10 cents.
Yeah.
And depending on the strength of your site, if your site's ranking very high, your pay-per-click price, actually, your percentage goes up. So if you're hitting like page one of Google for certain keywords and you've got AdSense on there, then you're going to get paid more. But if you are just starting out and you're putting some AdSense on there, then, yeah, it's a way to monetize your site, but in my opinion, not the best because the returns are very poor. You may as well just place a ClickBank ad on there. You won't get a click every day, which you probably could with AdSense, but you might get one a week or maybe one every few days, one sale a week, one sale every 2 weeks. You know, and then that's going to build up eventually depending on your traffic, but you're going to get more commission in the long run.
Yeah, I think with AdSense, Dan, I actually have my students in my coaching programs, the first thing I have people do is create a blog. You know, what we are talking about, because it's very important. But the first ads I have my students put on their blogs is AdSense. Now, the reason I do that, I actually say it's not going to make you rich, but it's to actually show people that they can start earning money. I think when you build a blog, if you're brand new to this and you build a blog, and let's say 3-4 weeks down the line, you've wrote 10 blog posts, you're starting to get traffic, and you log into your AdSense account, and even if you see 60 cents in there, you know, from clicks, you're going to start thinking, this is starting to work. Wow, I'm starting to earn money from stuff I'm doing online. And even if it's only, say, 60 cents, it shows you that this can work. Yeah. And that's the reason I have my students do that. Now, as you become more experienced, usually you will either place less AdSense ads or take the AdSense ads off altogether or replace them.
You learn to find out who your audience is and where your traffic's coming from.
Yeah, but it's definitely a strategy I would recommend to anyone who's new. Put some
AdSense. I've actually got a funny story. Wait, I thought it was funny. I don't know if you were. But I remember the first time I put ads, Google AdSense, on a blog. Okay, first time, very green, very new. And, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm checking my old... No, that wasn't. I didn't have a phone at the time, and that was it. I was in the pub with my father-in-law, and for the audience, my father-in-law earns a lot of money, but he's traditional, and he earns it working in a traditional style. And anyway, I earned 8 cents, and I went, Alan, I've earned 8 cents today, and he laughed. But for me, that 8 cents could have been $8 million because how I felt that I'd earned that 8 cents by myself. I wasn't employed. Nobody gave me that 8 cents for doing a job. I earned 8 cents for being asleep. Yeah. Now, obviously, things increase. But the buzz I got from that was amazing. And the feeling I got from that was amazing. And I thought, you know, this is fantastic. This is what I want to do. And you will find, I totally understand where you're coming from, John, when you tell people to put AdSense on your site. As soon as you see that first couple of cents, 10 cents, 8 cents, 2 cents, $5, whatever, that feeling is out of this world.
Yeah, and that's why I do it, Dan, because I can remember earning my first sale. You know, it was, I think it was $2.99. And I, you know, It was an amazing feeling, and I think everyone can remember their first sale. So, yeah, AdSense is definitely one technique, especially when you're starting out. So what else would you say, Dan?
Moving on from AdSense, there's a lot of advertising brokers that you can actually use out there. I'll give you a list and you can put it below the video. And they can actually pay people and they give you ads to put on your site and they pay you for a certain percentage. You can use them. There's a big list of those in the Bloggers Roadmap. And they're not bad. ClickBank, affiliate ads, you can use those. That's when you start, you know, having to code them into your own sites. And also, if depending on your niche, you can use ads from affiliate companies, for example, Affiliate Future, CommissionJunction.com. And there are a lot of these guys out there. And if you say if you're promoting like a fitness website, and you get all sort of the big players in the world use specific companies like CJ, like Affiliate Future, and you can use their ads to put on your site as well.
So another method is basically just straightforward ads.
Yeah.
Straightforward ads.
Just straightforward ads. I mean, it's depending on your niche, it's and what works for you. I don't say there's one. I'm looking at the question. I couldn't exactly say there's one top 10 monetization strategy for every single niche out there. There isn't. It just depends what works for you. You know, if you're creating a gambling website, you're not going to want to use stuff from ClickBank. You're going to want to use specific company affiliate programs. You know, if you're creating computer games, you're not going to want to use AdSense. You're going to want to go to Amazon or eBay as affiliate partnership. You know, it depends exactly what niche you're actually in. And if Brian's in sort of the IM niche, like what we are, then we'll use that as an example, in net marketing niche, then I would say top monetization tips on your website, your own products, by far. Because then you keep people in your own sales funnel.
That's what I tend to do, Dan. I tend to keep, I've took all the ads off my blog now. I think I only took the AdSense ads off last week. But I decided I just want my blog to advertise me and my products. So when people go to my blog, the only things I'm recommending is my own stuff. I do link to a couple of external sites or the cool blogs, that sort of thing, but nothing, you know, in where I'm trying to monetize. For me, when people visit my blog now, I want them to see my stuff. So, your own stuff is definitely another method
to monetize. Tools you use as well, John. I'm just trying to jump in there with that.
Sorry?
Tools you use.
Yeah.
For example, you know, hosting companies, if you're using any specific software that, you know, that you advertise on your blog that you use specifically that makes your life easier.
Of course.
You know, all of these things. And, you know, when we talk about monetization strategies, you need to think, I've actually looked at these questions here and it's not in there. It's, you know, don't discount your subscription. You need to build subscribers. Now, this is the most important part of your blog, you know, build your subscribers, because that is not a direct form of monetizing, but eventually you are going to monetize from your subscribers. So, you know, there's a lot to take in there, but if I can break it down into sort of a few things, recognize your niche, recognize the ads that actually work best for you from within your niche, and test them.
Yeah, I was actually going to say as well, Dan, you took the words out of my mouth, building a list from your blog. For me, it's probably the most important thing and probably how I monetize my blog the most, because when I look back over the months and years at where my subscribers come from, most of my subscribers come from my blog. And obviously when people join my blog, I'm then mailing out when I make new blog posts, bringing them back to my blog, recommending my products and services and affiliate-related products. So building a list as well. I think for me, the number one monetization strategy for me will be building a list.
Oh, most certainly. Definitely. Build your audience, because not only will these guys buy from you, so say you build your audience, you've got your subscription, okay? So you email out with every post you provide. Every post you provide is epic content. And, you know, these people are going to use your content to further their business and use your techniques to, you know, make their life easier. So if, just for example, make their life easier. And then when you send them an advertisement or something to buy, a promotion of some sort, your strike rate's going to be a hell of a lot better. People are going to trust you that much.
Yeah.
Okay. No, don't just send people to buy crap because they won't.
Exactly. Okay, Dan, I've got another set of questions here. This will probably be the last set of questions because we're going to be pushed for time. But Barbara is asking, okay, How does my blog get read when there are millions of blogs online, especially in the niche of internet marketing, where there are folks like you, Dave Nicholson, Daniel, etc., etc., are so well known and followed? So basically, I think Bob is trying to say, how can I shine in the world of IM when I'm not, you know, I'm not known?
Create fantastic content, and then it will be shared. I know it sounds simple. Create great content, get on social media scene, start building your subscribers, get on other people's blogs. Right, for example, if I wanted to create some buzz about a blog post that I've done now, okay? I want to get recognized. I create an awesome blog post. I send it out to all of my Twitter followers, my Facebook guys, Facebook groups, the Facebook groups I'm in, advertise it in the Facebook groups. Advertise it anywhere that you're actually active, forums, etc., depending on your niche again. And also, go to other people's blogs related to your niche and provide value. If you provide value on these people's niches, other people commenting on those blogs are going to come back and land on your blog. Now, when these people look at your blog, they think, wow, this content's fantastic. I'm going to share that. Okay, so that gets shared again. And that gets shared on Facebook, and that gets shared on Twitter, and you sort of create a mini viral effect.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen blog posts go from, you know, like a couple of tweets to, I mean, I've got a blog post on my blog that's been retweeted nearly 170 times already. You know, and that's a lot of traffic to that page because I wrote a great blog post. Now, it doesn't mean that you've just started your own blog that nobody's going to visit it. Nobody's going to visit if you do nothing about it. If you don't tell anybody that post's there, then, you know, you can't expect people to fall from the sky and land on your blog. But it's true, John, you know.
Yeah, you're right, Dan.
It's like walking into a shopping mall without a map and then trying to find the blog shop in the furthest, darkest corner. You know, nobody's going to find it. So you need to tell people. So you go on social media, share, and, you know, bounce about other people's blogs. This is the quickest and easiest way to get traffic to your blog is just go to other blogs and provide more value. And these people are going to think, wow, that comment was great. I'm going to go over to that blog and see what's going on. You know, if you know your niche and you provide value within your niche, then, you know, you're going to build subscribers. It's as simple as that.
I think another crucial thing I think when you're starting out, and I actually use and it works very well, is sharing tools as well. Obviously, when you write good posts, you want to give people the chance to share it on their Facebook wall and on Twitter. And I use a tool called ShareBar.
Yeah.
And that's a free plugin. Does a fantastic job. I mean, I've had some of my blog posts shared, I think, over 300 times with one post. And the post's only about 3 or 4 months old, and it still gets shared constantly. And what I tend to do as well, just something I to throw in here, I look at my older posts sometimes, and every few weeks I just share them again on my Facebook wall. So I just click the share button, and then it goes viral again, you know, because other people see it, and then they click share. And that's one thing you can do with your older content as well, especially the stuff that's had, you know, the stuff that's been really popular and got lots of comments. You will obviously know if you can put that in front of fresh eyes, you're going to get more shares and more comments.
There's plugins for that as well. You can use a popular post plugin.
Right.
Try saying that. And, you know, that can advertise all your popular posts, your best posts, right-hand side of your blog. And also, I do that as well. I retweet old stuff, you know. And, you know, people come back and they see they get shared again. And this is just traffic coming back to your blog. There's not one single method that's going to make you get traffic unless you're buying ads, unless you're paying a lot of money to buy traffic.
Yeah.
Then yes, there you go. That is one single way that you can get traffic, is just buy it. Simple. But there's also, if you want the freeways, which is what most people do, and, you know, blogging has a ton of interaction going on, and it's all about being social and engaging people and, you know, being professional and being personal with people as well. You know, people like that. That's what people want. We're living in an age now of social media, and, you know, that's the word, socialize, and that's what it's all about. You know, it's getting to know people.
Yeah, and this sort of leads into Barbara's next question. She's saying, "I'm not skilled in I am not skilled in any area, nor passionate about anything. This is a keyword here, except trying to earn money online. I know, John, that you say forget about the money and just concentrate on helping others to get what they want. But my question is, am I wasting my time trying to learn how to blog to earn an income online? Can I just jump in with a little bit with this, Dan?
I think she's answered her own question.
Yeah, you're passionate about trying to earn money online. So
there you go.
My advice would be, what you could do, I don't know if Dan will agree or disagree with this, but what I tell people to do when they're starting out is say to people, follow me on my journey. I'm going to try different methods. I'll share with you what works for me, what doesn't work, and yes, follow me on my journey. And that's the perfect way to get people to instantly relate to you, because a lot of people are in the same position as you.
Yes, and people love that.
Yeah, and they might want to find out.
People love seeing, call it a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, make a challenge out of it. Invite someone else to do it with you. You know, watch me and someone else take on the, I don't know, the 1,000 subscribers in a month challenge. If you feel, so what? You've got people watching you. If you're a success, write more about it. You know, just go for it, man. Yeah. There's something there to do. It's there. That's your challenge. Do it. You know, we want to make money online. Go make some money online. But tell people what you're doing. Don't just put a post out one day and say, look, I made $100 today. Wow. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, Dan, that challenge idea is actually a fantastic way to get someone just starting to get followers. Yeah, follow me as I attempt to and try and do whatever it is.
There's a ton of challenges going on with people's blogs, John. Just, you know, go on to Google and put an alert in for blog challenge.
Right.
Google alerts, type blog challenges, you know, and then that'll hit you up with, you may get a ping back every day for that. What's going on for the buzzword blog challenge, keywords blog challenge. You know, anybody can jump on these. Anybody can play. It's a great way for building subscribers. It's a great way for creating community and getting interaction on your blog.
Yeah.
Create your own challenge. If you've got enough subscribers, you can create your own challenge. But, you know, just join people's challenges. Create one for yourself. You know, this is what I'm going to do today, and tell everybody about it.
I think if you do that as well, it's not just about if it works or not. I think what a lot of people do, they set out with good intentions and then stop. I think if you make it public what you're going to do, I think you're more inclined to actually go and do it as well. And you're making yourself accountable. That will give you the motivation you need. Because I think a lot of the reasons people fail is they don't give it enough time to try, for it to work, whatever method it is they try, and they give up.
Yeah.
So if you say, to your blogger, I'm going to try this a solid method for 30 days, every day I'm going to report back what I did. And then let you know if it works or not at the end. Then, obviously, if you do it for 30 days, I guarantee you'll probably start to see results.
It's the people who don't actually do it, though.
Yeah.
You know, get into day 5 and think, oh, okay, this movie's on the TV tonight. I can't be asked to do my challenge. don't. Man, it's TV. God, it's just a box. You know, do something with value. Get something done. And honestly, after 30 days, when you've succeeded in that challenge, even if you've got 10 people following you or 5 people following you, you've done it. And that's more than what you've done sitting down watching TV, I'm telling you.
Brilliant, Dan. Honestly, that's a brilliant
way. That's my gripe on television. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm the same, Dan. I mean, I go on little rants on my webinars about people who watch too much TV and spend too much time on Facebook, looking at pretty pictures of kittens and that sort of thing. But that's probably another call for another day. So, Dan, I mean, I think hopefully anyone who's listening to this has got some value here. I'm going to wrap it up now because we are almost coming up to the hour mark, and I don't want to really go beyond an hour. We can maybe do a part 2 another time if we get more questions. But is there anything you want to add to finish? First of all, I'm going to say to people, obviously, I'm going to mention your product, Dan. The URL is thebloggersroadmap.com, thebloggersroadmap.com. And you can find out more about Dan's product there. So obviously, Dan, I don't know if there's anything you want to say before we end it, related to the blogging or whatever it is you want to add.
I tell you what I'm going to say is, if we've got people on here who are listening to this now, who are just starting out, who are wanting starting out, or aren't feel as though they're getting the results they want to, just go for it. Give it 100% all of the time. Nothing gets dropped on a plate. Nothing. And there's no sort of great easy fix to do things. It's all about learning, and it's a challenge. But put it as that challenge within yourself, and just keep on doing what you're doing and don't give up. That's the main thing. Go at it every day. Think it, live it, breathe it.
Fantastic.
That's what you want to do.
And obviously, I think this is the obvious thing. Make sure you build a blog. If you're going to do anything online, do it. Start by building a blog, because I guarantee it's going to be the most important site you will ever create in your life. If you don't have a blog, build one. If you are just starting out, make that your first priority. And then,
well, if you are building a blog, write about your journey. If you can't think of anything to write about exactly what you're doing. Build a blog. This is what I'm going to do. This doesn't matter if anybody isn't reading it. You're telling yourself and you're learning yourself.
Yeah. Okay, then, Dan, we're actually just about to come up the hour mark, so I'm going to end it there. One more time, I'm going to say that URL, thebloggersroadmap.com. You can find out more about the Bloggers Roadmap there. And once again, Dan, thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview.
Nice one, John. No problem whatsoever, my friend.